told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? And they answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I see that we have someone in the waiting room. Do we know who this is? Well, let's let them in and find out. The person who just entered, please identify yourself. Galaxy J3, please identify yourself. You have to unmute yourself to identify yourself. If you don't identify yourself, we're going to have to ask you to leave. Aha, I see who it is. Okay, this is Beverly. Very good. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you gotten to the beach or a lake yet this summer to try to cool off from the heat? Or maybe just to be in the fresh air after having been in isolation for weeks? If you have, I bet that you probably didn't think about what you didn't think about was the invasive species that you might have met in the water or on the shore. You know, invasive species, they are the plants and the animals, the fish and other sea creatures that come on ships from other parts of the world. They don't have any natural enemies in our area of the world. So when they get here, they just multiply and multiply and multiply, and pretty soon they've taken up all the ground or eaten up all the native fish, food fish, so that the species that thrive where we are can't survive. Okay, so what does this have to do with Jesus' parables? Well, you might be surprised to learn that mustard plants are an invasive species. In fact, growing mustard seeds on purpose is kind of like planting dandelions in your flower bed. Nobody grew mustard plants purposely in Jesus' time. In fact, the ancient rabbis considered the mustard plant to be unclean. They thought it was blemished and unholy because of the way that it took over a field. And the mustard bush really is not a big, beautiful tree, not like the majestic oak tree or a towering cedar. It's really more like a 6-foot shrub that grows like crazy, can't be stopped, and takes over everything. So beware of invasive species might be the warning that ought to be read with today's parables. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the biggest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make nests in its branches. Most people who hear this parable are fond of it because we think, big things come from small beginnings. That's nice. It presents an attractive view of nature. But parables are also supposed to make us stop and think, to get us a little confused to think about how God works, and not always in the way we think God should work. So that's why we think about the invasive species. So Jesus could have been saying, God's kingdom is like a tiny little throwaway seed that somebody foolishly plants, and then it sprouts and it grows and it takes over, providing a safe place of refuge in which birds and other creatures find a home. So what does the mustard seed have to do with you and me? Well, there's a tiny seed of God's word planted into you and me. There's a tiny seed of faith in us. Sometimes, at least for me, it doesn't seem to be enough. Sometimes it seems weak. It may be just the word that's spoken, you are forgiven. It may be an old hymn that we sing, a little bit of water splashed on a baby's head, a little wafer that we eat, or a sip of wine that we drink. We may think that the seed seems too small to do the job, that it's foolish for us to think that that little bit of faith in us can save us. But Jesus tells us, right? It grows, that seed grows, our faith in Jesus Christ grows. When we trust in God, the faith that is God's gift grows until it takes over our whole life, until it crowds out everything the world is trying to grow in us. That little seed of God's kingdom takes over, grabs hold of us, and makes a place in us for God, so that we can serve others, not just live for ourselves anymore. And you know, this thought about the seed growing and taking over harkens back to what we considered last week, that the accomplishment of God's will through us takes time, and it requires us to wait sometimes, to be patient. Remembering Congressman John Lewis's ministry once again, he often urged people, especially the younger people in the civil rights movement, to go slowly in working for change. One of his favorite quotes was, "It's better to be a pilot light than to be a firecracker. You last longer." He says that was a caution he often repeated. So back to our gospel. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixed in with 3 measures of flour, and it leavened the whole batch. Now, the amount of bread this lady is trying to make, you may not know because she's not using our measurements, but it's enormous. It's enough to feed 50 people 3 meals a day for a week. And what does she have to make it? A tiny little bit of yeast, dried up, looking dead, maybe smelling strange, but amazingly alive, secretly full of life and thriving. What a contradiction. And this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus tells us. A tiny word, a strange, unbelievable promise, the senseless and gross death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death mixed into you and me, overflowing, full of life, with God grabbing hold of us, kneading us like the dough of a loaf of bread, and making us rise into his own new creation. Maybe that's what we need to hear the most. Maybe that's what Jesus' parables today are all about, that God is grabbing on to us, that though God's kingdom looks like nothing much to begin with, Just ordinary life, like a mustard seed or a dusting of yeast, it still takes over. It makes us his own. It makes us useful for him in this world and on into eternity. Now, the second lesson for today carries this theme of smallness forward by talking about human weakness. Chapter 8 of Romans assures you and me today that God meets us in that weakness. Paul tells us that when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, God's Holy Spirit intercedes with us. God meets us wherever our life seems foolish or seems like a waste. God comes to us where we are weak and where we don't have the answers. When we and our faith feel like a little mustard seed or a tiny leaven of yeast, that's where God is secretly most active in our lives. St. Paul asks us, and what shall we say about all these things? What shall we say about all the things that make up our mustard seed yeasty lives? Who will separate us from the love of Christ, Paul asks. Shall hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? Shall coronavirus, unemployment, maybe the looming danger of homelessness, loneliness, or hard times, or rejection, or even the worst thing we can imagine happening, will that separate us from the love of Christ? No, Paul says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Right now, today, even and especially in our weakness, in the midst of this pandemic, we are more than conquerors because we have a God who has given us himself in Jesus Christ. And with him, God will give us everything we need. I am convinced, Paul says, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What security that gives us. Nothing can separate us. God refuses to let us go. God has grabbed hold of us and won't give up on us. God, who loves us so much that he won't let us be separated from him. Not even when we're at our worst. Not because of anything the world throws at us. Nothing we can even imagine can separate us from God. God is ours. We are God's. Like a father whose grip cannot be undone, who keeps us secure, who has his strong arms tight around us, God's kingdom comes into our lives like a tiny seed, like a little bit of yeast. By sheer force of grace, God takes us over, grabs on, and will never let us go. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.